Hey, everybody, welcome to another deep dive with us. And today we're going to be tackling a topic that I think is really important to a lot of people, and that is the idea of the fear of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be looking at this through the lens of 2 Kings 17.
Okay.
We have a really interesting lecture from Dr. John Oswalt.
Right.
That is going to guide us through some of the ins and outs of this idea. And I think it's going to be a really fascinating discussion because it really gets at some deep truths about how we relate to God.
Yeah.
And how we live our lives and all that.
Absolutely.
So to set the stage a little bit, 2 Kings 17, it takes us back to ancient Israel after its fall. And we see this picture of a conquered land where the Assyrians, they were known for their kind of ruthless population control tactics.
Yeah.
And they had relocated a bunch of foreigners into this area, and it created this kind of a blend of cultures.
Yeah, it's almost like a forced social experiment, isn't it? Where they're trying to, the Assyrians were trying to prevent any kind of unified uprisings by scattering the original inhabitants and bringing in people from all different backgrounds and hoping that they would be able to get their act together and rebel against them.
Right. It's like a cultural blender going on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as we see in 2 Kings 17, this blending had some pretty significant and maybe some unforeseen consequences.
For sure.
And one of the most striking details is that these newcomers, they lacked the fear of the Lord.
Right.
And that phrase just jumps out at you.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that really mean in this context?
First,
is it just about like going to temple?
Yeah.
Or is there something much deeper going on?
That is the crux of it. And and Oswalt really emphasizes that the fear of the Lord, it goes beyond mere worship.
Okay.
And it's interesting because he uses the word worship quite frequently in this lecture.
Yeah.
But it's about recognizing a power that's greater than ourselves and letting that awareness shape our lives. And I think this is where we see a real stark contrast with these newcomers.
Right.
They may have adopted some forms of worshiping Yahweh.
All right.
They even offered sacrifices, but they didn't really get to the essence of what it meant to fear the Lord.
That's interesting because it seems like on the surface they were at least trying.
Yeah.
Right? They were going through the motions.
Yeah, they were doing all the outward stuff.
Yeah.
But the inward transformation or the inward reality hadn't really taken place.
Well, and then we come to that incident with the lions attacking.
Right.
And it seems like everything just kind of unravels. And I mean, was God sending these lions as like a divine punishment?
Yeah.
Because they weren't doing things right?
Well, this is where I think Oswalt pushes back against a very simplistic, almost transactional view of faith.
Okay.
He makes it clear that this wasn't like a divinely orchestrated lion attack. God wasn't like pulling the strings and making these lions go after people.
Okay, so no Jungle Cruise gone wrong.
Right, exactly.
With God at the helm.
Yeah.
But I'm sensing that there's a little bit more to this than just, well, lion's gonna lion. What's the bigger takeaway here about how the newcomers were viewing God?
Sure.
And how that relates to this whole idea of fear?
So I think the newcomers had a very limited, you could almost call it a cosmic vending machine.
Okay.
Understanding of God.
Right.
Like, you put in the sacrifices, you say the right prayers, you do all the right rituals.
Right.
And then you expect a certain outcome, safety, prosperity, no lion attack.
Right, like a transaction.
Exactly.
Yep.
But true fear of the Lord, as Oswalt presents, it runs much deeper than that.
So it's less about appeasing a deity and more about what recognizing our place in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Understanding that we're not the ones calling the shots.
Precisely. It's about acknowledging a power and authority that is beyond our comprehension and choosing to live in alignment with that power.
Okay.
Even if it means letting go of our need for control or easy answers.
Right.
And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Because the text itself says the newcomers feared the Lord, but.
Oh, that but.
There's this but.
Yeah.
That hangs in the air, and it suggests that their fear was maybe incomplete.
Right.
Or perhaps misplaced.
Yeah. That but is what really gets me. Because I think we can all relate to that.
Right?
We say we believe in God, but.
Right.
And then comes the laundry list of all the other things that we're actually prioritizing.
Exactly.
Over that belief.
Yeah.
All the other fears that are still holding sway over us.
It's a powerful observation. And it's something that Oswalt really tackles head on in his lecture.
Yeah.
He challenges us to examine our own lives. And to ask ourselves, are we truly fearing the Lord?
Right.
Or are we trying to hedge our bets? Mix our faith with a healthy dose of worldly ambition and anxiety and desire for comfort.
Right. Are we trying to serve two masters at the same time?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I think that's a perfect place to maybe pause and reflect before we dive into the next part of this deep dive.
Sounds good.
We've kind of laid the groundwork here.
Yeah.
We've explored the historical context. We've uncovered some of the misconceptions surrounding this whole idea of the fear of the Lord. Mm. But the real journey is just beginning.
Right.
So join us in part two as we delve deeper into Oswald's insights and uncover how this ancient concept can offer a path to genuine freedom.
Genuine freedom.
I can't wait.
All right. See you there.
Sounds good. Picking up where we left off with that fear but idea.
Right.
I think it's worth pointing out that Oswald doesn't leave us hanging there with that kind of unsettling truth.
Right.
He actually goes on to reframe the concept of fear of the Lord.
Okay.
In a way that is surprisingly liberating.
You know, I think a lot of us do get hung up on that word fear. It kind of conjures up images of, you know, cowering before a vengeful deity,
right,
constantly worried about being punished.
Mm.
But it sounds like Oswald's painting a different picture.
He speaks of it more as the sense of awe.
Of recognizing the sheer magnitude and otherness of God.
Mm-hmm.
He even uses the phrase, he's not you,
right,
to highlight the vast difference between our limited perspective,
okay,
and the infinite nature of the divine.
So it's not about shrinking back in terror, but about expanding our understanding of what's possible, of what's truly at work in the universe.
That's it. And it's almost like when you stand on a mountaintop.
Right.
And you just feel this sense of awe at the vastness of nature.
Yeah.
It's humbling.
Right.
But it's also exhilarating.
It's like that feeling of being humbled, but strangely empowered at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Oswald seems to suggest that this awareness of something much greater than ourselves,
right,
can actually free us from the grip of so many other fears.
Okay, I'm curious about that. How does fearing the Lord in the sense of awe and reverence,
yeah,
how does that actually translate into less fear in our everyday lives?
Well, think about the fears that often drive us. Fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of not measuring up. Fear of what other people think of us.
Yeah.
Fear of scarcity and loss.
Yeah, all those day-to-day fears.
Exactly. All these fears stem from this sense that we are at the center.
Right.
That our ego and our limited resources are all we have to rely on.
Right. We got to do it all ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when we acknowledge a power greater than ourselves, those fears begin to lose their grip.
So it's not that those challenges disappear.
Right.
But we approach them from a different place with a different set of priorities.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Oswald uses the phrase, living with confident trust and joyous abandon.
Okay, that sounds almost paradoxical when you first hear it.
Yeah.
How can you be both confident and abandoned at the same time?
It does seem like a contradiction, but I think it connects to this idea of surrender.
Okay.
If we're truly trusting in a power beyond ourselves, then we don't have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders.
Right. We can kind of let go of that constant striving for control.
Exactly.
And actually find a sense of joy in the journey.
It's a powerful shift, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gets at the heart of what Oswald's trying to convey with this idea of the covenant.
Okay.
It's not just about following rules.
Right.
Or earning God's favor. It's about recognizing that we're a part of something much larger.
Mm-hmm.
Something that sustains us and guides us, even when we don't fully understand it.
Yeah. You know, that makes me think of how often we try to build these little kingdoms for ourselves, these little bubbles of comfort and control.
Yes.
But the fear of the Lord, in the sense that Oswald's describing, seems to be about stepping outside of those self-made boundaries.
Yes.
And recognizing that we're part of a much grander story.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And it's not about passivity
or
giving up on our ambitions. It's about aligning our ambitions with a higher purpose.
Okay.
Trusting that even if things don't go exactly as we planned, there's a wisdom at work that's beyond our comprehension.
This is starting to click for me, but I have to admit it still feels a bit abstract. How do we translate these kind of grand ideas into something tangible, something we can actually apply in our everyday lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And thankfully, Oswald doesn't leave us hanging.
Okay, okay.
He offers some very practical insights into how we can cultivate this fear of the Lord.
Okay.
In a way that transforms our relationships, our work,
right,
and our overall approach to life.
Well, I'm all ears. Let's dive into those practical applications in part three and see how this ancient concept can become a source of strength and freedom in our modern world. Okay, so we've explored this idea of fear of the Lord as awe-inspired living, but I think it's time to get down to brass tacks.
Right.
How do we actually live this out? It can't just be about gazing at the stars and feeling humbled, right?
Right.
How does this translate to our daily grind, our decisions, our interactions?
Well, you know, I think you make a good point there. It's easy to get lost in those grand concepts. But Oswald's really clear that this isn't about passive acceptance or, you know, checking off a list of do's and don'ts. Mm. It's really about a fundamental shift in perspective, a way of seeing the world and our place in it, and that then informs everything we do.
So less about doing the right things and more about seeing through a different lens.
Yeah, exactly.
But what does that look like in real life? Is there a starting point, like a step one to cultivating this fear of the Lord?
Well, I think if we go back to that powerful phrase that Oswald uses, he's not you.
Right.
I think we find a clue there. The first step is recognizing our limitations, acknowledging that we are not the center of the universe, that there's a wisdom and power at play that's far beyond our grasp.
Okay, so step one, a healthy dose of humility.
Right.
Admitting we don't have all the answers, that we're not in control. And, you know, that resonates with me, actually. It seems like so much of our anxiety comes from trying to be in control to force things to go our way.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation. And it leads beautifully into what I see as a natural next step.
Okay.
And that is gratitude. When we recognize that he's not you, when we grasp the vastness of creation and our relatively small place within it, a sense of gratitude arises.
Mm-hmm.
We see all that we've been given, life itself, the beauty of the world, our relationships as gifts, not things we've earned or deserved.
I see where you're going with this. It's that sense of being held, of being a part of something much bigger than ourselves, that allows us to release the grip of fear and anxiety. Mm. It's like we're saying, okay, I can't control everything, but I can trust that I'm not alone in this.
Mm.
And that trust opens up space for joy, for that joyous abandon that Oswald talks about.
Yes, exactly. The paradoxical freedom that comes from surrender.
Mm-hmm.
We're not weighed down by the pressure of having to orchestrate every outcome, every detail of our lives.
Mm.
Instead, we can focus on aligning our actions with that greater power, trusting that even in the face of setbacks or uncertainty, we're being guided, protected, even loved.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all comes together. But let's get really concrete here. Can you give me an example of how this fear of the Lord might play out in a specific situation? Say, in the workplace. I feel like that's where a lot of us struggle with fear and anxiety these days.
Absolutely. Imagine you're faced with a tough ethical decision at work. Maybe there's pressure to cut corners, to compromise your values for the sake of profit or advancement. If your primary fear is losing your job, you might be tempted to go along, even if it feels wrong.
But if you're operating from that place of fear of the Lord, of recognizing a higher authority, a deeper set of values,
then your decision-making process shifts.
Yeah.
You're no longer solely driven by that fear of loss or a desperate need to please your boss. Instead, you're asking yourself, what does it look like to live with integrity in this situation? How can I honor the gifts I've been given, my skills, my position, in a way that aligns with that higher purpose? It's not about being passive or avoiding ambition, but about aligning our ambition with something that transcends our own ego and desires.
That's a powerful distinction. It's not about becoming a doormat or giving up on success, but about redefining what success means in the context of a life lived in alignment with a higher power. And I think that's a message that can resonate with anyone, regardless of their religious background.
Absolutely. I think you're right. It's about tapping into a deeper source of strength and wisdom,
yeah,
recognizing that we're not alone in facing the challenges of life.
Yeah.
And that, in a nutshell, is the transformative power of what Oswald calls fear of the Lord.
Wow, this has been an incredibly rich and thought-provoking deep dive. I feel like we've barely scratched the surface of this topic, and I know I'll be mulling over these ideas for a long time to come. As we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with a question to ponder. What areas of your life might be ruled by fear of something other than God? Fear of failure, fear of loneliness, fear of not measuring up. What would it look like to surrender those fears and embrace the awe-inspiring reality that there's something greater at work, a force that's guiding you, protecting you, and calling you to live a life of purpose and joy? That's the kind of question that stays with you long after the conversation ends. Until next time, keep exploring.